don't know. I feel if you look into it, though, it does look like it was $6 million, no cap.
Really? I mean, sometimes they lie about those things, don't they?
And guys, I thought you said we weren't going to talk about this. We're rolling, by the way.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay. Right. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Kat Baker Show, the longest running podcast in the world, the number one podcast in the Philippines, hosted by I, Kat Baker, but number one person in the UK. Today, we're joined by Elliot Steele.
Hello.
Who are you and why are you in my house?
I'm a comedian who's been lauded. I don't really know what the fuck this is, but I have so little going on in my life. And when a woman messaged me to come around and film something, I'm like, yeah, sure. Nothing happening in my life. Like,
I'm going to lock you in my house for an hour.
Yeah.
And what happens, happens.
But that's kind of like, do you know what? Not even in like a sexual way, in just like, what else was I going to be doing on like
Thursday? Well, I was saying this,
Thursday.
To be fair, I've said this before. If anyone wants to ask me onto any podcast, I will go onto any podcast because I don't have much going on.
No, exactly. Like yeah. I've agreed to things in my life that are so, do you ever, like sometimes I get to a gig and I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot, say no. Like, right. I get there, and like one time I turned up to a gig and nobody came. And this is like 2 years ago, by the way. Mm-hmm, this is like early in my career. It was like with like four other very good stand ups. Mm-hmm. And the guy around the gig was like, oh, man, no one's here. He was like, do you guys want to sit around and just workshop some material with each other? And we went, no. And everyone just went home. We're like, we don't need a fucking writing session, right?
Have you ever been to the writing sessions at Angel on a Sunday?
No, because I'm not.
Okay, so I went to one once and it was the weirdest bunch of people I think I've ever
anyone who does that is either too new in the game to realize you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Or,
well, I don't even do stand-up, but I was like, I'm going to go just see.
But what was your logic?
Well, because I needed sketch ideas, but we went and it was most stand-ups, I was like.
Right, yeah. It'll be people who's like, can I guess, like really new or they've been going really long in stand-up, but they're not like professional. So they go.
It was mostly just an autistic meeting.
Yeah, that's stand up more or less. It's
and everyone, someone says something about being autistic. Everyone, that's me.
Yeah. There's a lot of. Most of them aren't even autistic. They're just like proper. They're just classic retarded.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to say that word, aren't I?
Yeah, I drop it sometimes.
Yeah, they're just like a lot of the time you see people on stage and they're like, I'm autistic, and you're like, no, you're just retarded.
Mm.
Like you're not autistic. You're not good with numbers.
You know, I've had this quite a lot recently. People have been shocked when I say I'm not autistic.
Oh, yeah. I find that quite surprising.
Do you?
Yeah. I find like most girls on OnlyFans are like some sort of autism.
Yeah.
Well, there's a pattern on this podcast.
Everyone we get on is autistic. But you're not autistic.
Nah, probably. I might be. Who gives a fuck?
Well, I give a fuck because...
But like,
I don't like too many of them.
Yeah, but...
You know,
but
in my house.
But I think autistic has just become the new term for retarded. That's people.
Or just British. Being a bit British and awkward. That's the thing. That's all I am. I'm just British and awkward, but people think I'm autistic, but no, I'm not autistic. And I'm proud to say I'm not autistic and I am an anti-autism actor.
But they all, like, I know people, like, because when people say autism, there's like people I know or like family friends who's like have like non-verbal autistic children.
Yeah, I used to work in mental health work caring for people with autism, and they'd do stuff like not shower for months, and you'd have to be like, have a shower.
Yeah, it's like, it can be like a really like debilitating mental health thing.
Mm.
And then you have someone who's like, oh, you know, I play Call of Duty, I'm a bit autistic. And it's come the new OCD. Like, I know a guy with OCD and it looks horrendous.
Yeah.
It doesn't look, it's not like, oh, I've got to move the coffee cup just there.
No,
I'm a bit
OCD. Yeah, I have a
OCD.
Friend who's like, she'll have a terrible spiral where she's convinced she's like a paedophile or something. Like that's part
of
the
that
OCD.
Happens to quite a lot of people where they think they've like, they're an untapped pedo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sounds very not fun.
No.
There's an expression that people aren't using enough these days, and it's low functioning autism. Because people that are saying autism are, I'm autistic, I'm a bit autistic about this, or I've got a diagnosis. It's like high functioning. But a friend of mine has like a low functioning autistic child, and it's really difficult.
Yeah.
So it's that, like, people aren't talking about that enough these days.
Yeah, their lives are just, have you ever just seen a parent and they're like looking after, like, their life is now looking after their kid who's like got something like that. And they just look tired. You go,
yeah.
Fuck, that is a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. And then you have someone who's like, oh, you know, I'm autistic because, you know, I know the train times. And you're like, that's because you get the train. That's just having memory.
Yeah. Although, because I was thinking this recently. I was like, someone said to me, maybe you have ADHD because sometimes I switch off. But I was like, no, I'm actually just a narcissist. Like, I switch off when people aren't talking about me.
Right, yeah, I do that. Yeah I love
if it's
it.
Not about, like, if it doesn't interest me, then I don't care.
Oh, I do that all the time. Like, when the conversation's about me, I'm so involved. Yeah.
Or if it's something I just watched on YouTube recently, I'm like, let me tell you. And I'll go off on it for about an hour. But that's just because it's about me. I just need a platform for everything. I need to be platformed constantly, basically.
That's common for anyone who chooses to be a performer. And both of you, in different ways, are both performers. So
I'm a very artistic performer.
Are you? Yeah, because you are on OnlyFans, right?
Yeah, that's how I started off.
Okay.
People were like, are you like a weird sort of comedy content creator? And then you did an OnlyFans because you failed at comedy. And I'm like, no, I failed at porn,
right?
And then started doing more funny stuff and got better traction.
That's a dark day for comedy.
My fanny was so smashed up, people were like, nah, you can't rely on that alone. You've got to have a personality. Yeah.
Getting your rat out, and they're like, yeah, but what do you think of current events? you're like the only porn star where people are like, no, I need backstory.
People are like, your body is not enough. Which is often women are told, you need to get your body out more. That for me, people are like, put it away. Do something else.
Because I have, like, my views on like OnlyFans and stuff are like I don't care. I've dated like girls on OnlyFans and stuff before. And like, I have to do this. Like, as a guy, if you've ever dated a girl who does OnlyFans, you have to go through this like rigmarole where like they're going to chat to you about star signs, which like is really big. And
I don't actually believe in star signs.
No, but loads of sex workers
do. Yeah.
Like, and the second thing is you then have to pretend it's a noble profession on the day. Like, you have to sit there and they're like, you know, because it's a really, like, what I do, well, like, it's, they act like they're a nuclear physicist.
Well, I say this all the time, I do OnlyFans because I hate working.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you do, like, people, okay, so it does take a lot of work to be the top, like, the top earner. But to make a steady income, you've got, as long as, if you find a niche, you've got to do very little.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's where I'm a little bit like, because I've never been one of those guys who like enjoys going to a strip club or anything like that.
No.
I genuinely find like
that gay is, or something.
Probably, maybe just autistic. But I like, I've always seen going to the strip club as like, but why?
Yeah, like, it is. Well, strip clubs are a fucking dying industry because I have a mate who's a stripper. And we were talking about this. We had another ex-stripper on before and she was saying, like, the money you make nowadays is nothing in strip clubs. Because it is, like, you're just getting and sort of getting rubbed up on and not finishing.
But I feel like it's an activity that men do with other men that they can be like, I had a beautiful woman sit on me. And I'm like, okay, but, like, it really... Within... Like, especially in modern society now with, like, Tinder, Hinge, all of that. I was never good at dating apps. Mm-hmm. But it's not hard to get laid, yeah. I think now, like, when people are like, you know, I just can't... Like, if the problem is meeting someone and, like, creating a connection. Mm-hmm. But, like, meeting someone and hooking up with them, there couldn't be more in place.
Mm-hmm.
There is an app that you can just lie on.
Yeah.
And choose, like, five of your best pictures.
Yeah.
And you struggle... To get, like, I just look at that and I'm like, yeah, man, that's... But then again, I'm 6 foot and not balding. As I get near my... When you're going into your 20s, it's about having abs, muscles and six packs. And then when you're getting near your 30s, it's like, oh,
yeah,
he's not going bald.
Yeah, that is...
like, that's it. Can I ask, such a low bar.
What were your thoughts on Rat Boy Summer?
It was good for the ugly guys like me. It was good
for us.
Well,
no, you're not ugly.
I'm ugly.
You're not.
I'm ugly.
No, you're an attractive guy, but you've got a rat quality to you.
Yeah.
And did you appreciate that girls were creaming in their knickers over rat boys?
Nah, because I fucked up and got into a relationship, so I missed out on the...
And did she seek you out specifically for the rat
No, we've seen each other before Rat Boy Summer happened, but we were going out for like, we were seeing each other for like a year, and then it came like the, it was the classic, like, I was going around doing my thing, being like, well, you do your thing. And then she started doing her thing. And I was like, no, that's not fair. How dare you do exactly what I've done? So then we started like going out, and it's cool. It's nice. But I think I went through, I never got girls at school. I was like a fuck ugly kid. I was like, if I was in America, I'd have been like the kid that, like, if he turns up with a duffel bag and dyed hair, get running, he's going to shoot the place up. And then when I got into my 20s and I started like, well, when I was more about 23, 24, actually no, because that's when I met my last girlfriend. So no, when I was like, when I sort of got a bit early 20s, no, but then mid, sort of 22, 23, I started like going out and being able to get girls and stuff.
Right.
And I was an arsehole. As everyone is at that age.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, very like, I think everyone is at that age.
That is, I do think there is a thing of guys when, because I've, guys who I know who have always been hot are less slutty than the guys who weren't hot then get hot.
Yes. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to make up for something.
Yes.
And I got caught in that sort of
loop. I think I was, I've kind of always been the same, right? I think.
So not hot. Not
too- You meant to say, yeah, 10 out of 10. I was a 10 out of 10 when I popped out my mum's vagina. Yeah.
You can't say you were a hot baby.
I was.
That's going back too far.
I was very fucking hot as a baby.
You can't be like.
I was.
You can't be a hot baby. No one can go, I was a fuckable
there
baby.
There are actually lots of people who believe in fuckable babies.
That doesn't mean they're right. A lot of people believe in God. I'm just saying there's some things you have to draw a line at and go, like, we can't get onto the point of like where people go, you know, some babies,
yeah,
you know, they're in a nappy, what were they wearing? Like, you can't. Oh, I love that you gave me a chat before this, like, hey, I might go with something, roll
yeah. Yeah, so hot babies, that's what you mentioned, Elliot.
I never mentioned hot babies.
Roll the camera back.
Have you, but like, so you were saying like, you've always been, got attention then?
Well, I always had boys who fancied me, but I've always been awkward and weird and funny.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm the funniest person in the world. Right. Like, you spent a few minutes with me and you just can barely breathe. You're laughing so hard. So I guess I was never like, I would get asked out a lot by boys, but I didn't lose my virginity till I was like 18.
Yeah, I was 16. Yeah.
Little slut.
Kept it legal.
Damn.
Forever legal.
I remember at the time though, like before I was 16, I was like, I've got to lose it before it's legal. Because that's what's cool.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Like, you're never going to get to do it again. You're never going to be able to.
I lost it like first year of uni.
Right, yeah.
I went to uni a virgin, and I was like, but that's all right as a woman. As a man, you feel a bit like,
I don't know, I think.
Did you go uni?
No, I was never going to go to uni. I was thick as fuck at school. Right. I was like, I went to like a decent, my whole life has been nepotism. So like, my dad's a stand-up, so I do stand-up.
Oh, my dad is famous as well.
Who's your dad?
Tony Blair.
No, he isn't though.
Well, he is.
No, but he isn't.
No, Tony Blair, fuck Vanessa Feltz and I'm a love child.
Okay, but like, I'm dumb enough to believe this.
It's true.
It's not true.
It is true.
It's not true. That would be like,
no, it is. I'm Vanessa Feltz and Tony Blair's love child.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
No, but you're not.
I am.
But why wouldn't your name then be Cat Feltz or Cat Blair? Why?
Well, because they didn't want to, you know, they wanted to keep it a secret.
Right, okay, but then if you're on a podcast going, I'm the
love child. Like, you can't, I can say it.
They can't go, like, wouldn't they like send MI5 round to like make it look like tight, put you in a suitcase and go, oh, it was a weird sex game. That's how our government kills people. People just turn up in suitcases and they go, ah, they must have been kinky.
No, this is,
But have you got a famous parent?
Well, no, but my mum did work at a cinema, and then I got a job at the cinema after she worked there. So that's nepotism.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing with nepotism is a lot of time, like, I've got mates who are builders because their dad, they went and worked at their dad's building. For, yeah. There's this weird. It is, you know, if you ever look at a butcher's, it was called like And Sons. So I got into comedy from my dad. But at school, my mum worked at the other site and got me like that. I got into the school. And I was kicked out within like 4 months. No cool reason.
Right.
I wish I had a cool.
Just like didn't show up or something.
Literally that. Right. I would just stop. I just didn't give a fuck enough. I was really bad at education. Mm. I was
No, all my family have done comedy and acting.
Really?
But none have been successful.
Okay.
Except.
And you're carrying on the trend of.
My cousins got some success a few years ago. So yeah,
who's your cousin?
Oh, well, I'll say it here, but can you cut it out?
Well, do you want me to cut it out?
Yes, yeah, please. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I'm
So so she's really rich now.
Okay.
But yeah.
Why do you have to cut that out?
Oh, because my dad doesn't know I do OnlyFans. So if people can search them and then my dad and then they can.
How do you keep that secret?
Because my dad's a boomer, so he doesn't go online.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, we'll cut all this out, obviously.
Well, yeah, cut that bit out. Leave out the names and use all this if you want. But everyone always says I fucking look like her. Like, and in my comments, they're like, oh, you're a budget version of... And I'm like, well, yeah, it's because she's my cousin.
That's interesting. There was a girl I was seeing who was on OnlyFans, and she was like, yeah, my dad doesn't know. And I was like, but like, you're not like, your Twitter feed is like a lot of the picture, like, do they not follow you on Twitter? And she was like, nah. And I was like, because
she has pictures of her family on her
her family, she had pictures of some of, like,
imagine if, like, in between me post my family, I post a picture of my dad on my Twitter, like,
happy Father's Day. Just got your rat out in, like, a few of the others.
Come watch this video of me with this dildo, and I'm like, Dad, you have been the best dad for the past
30
years.
One woman who I went on a few dates with who was like,
God, you're dating all the women, Elliot.
I think there's a thing where, like, I actually think stand-ups and sex work is, this is what, like,
both degenerates, so they find each other.
Yes, but also, like, you realize it's there's like a thing where it becomes a job.
Yeah.
And there's that, and it's very fake. So stand up is like, you're going on each night, and this is like the first time I've ever said this.
Yeah.
And sex work can be like, hello, man. Yes, I am deeply in love with you.
Yeah.
Mr. Lawyer, who's going to tell me about his family and how he hates his life and sit there. Do you know what I mean?
Improv.
Yes, the sex workers are better at improv than fucking most comedians, to be honest. Like, but it was funny, like, the sort of difference between this. She was doing, like, really well. Like, she had this big, like, Instagram account and stuff. And I remember going on a date with her and, like, seeing her and being like, oh, you're not meant to be on a date with me. Like, you shouldn't, like, I shouldn't be with you. Like,
what? Because you're punching.
By, like, a level of, we went to go into this bar, and she was like, what are we doing on a date? And I was like, I just met her. I was like, oh, we'll go to a bar. And she was, like, laughing. She's like, you know, when men take me on a date, they take me to, like, 3 Michelin and stuff. She's like, I've been on, like,
yachts. Well, okay, well, I only get taken to Spoon.
But I was literally doing that.
Do you know, I'm going on a date to Spoons tonight because there's a 7.5% discount on Spoons.
There's levels to the game. But she put a lot of work into her.
Right.
Her, like.
Do I know her?
I'll tell you her off pod.
Okay, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Elliot, do you think you got a date with her because you were successful stand-up and you're
100%. That's 100% what happened. And I replied, she followed me, I followed her, I replied to one of her stories, and we started chatting. And I think there's a thing, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, where, like, when people do sex work, if somebody then chats to them, like, and they're cool, it's like, oh, you're sound with what I do. You're not dating me because I do this job. And you're also like, you're just, it's more like, oh, you don't get it, but you're not weird about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like if you go on a date with like a trans person or something, like it's like, don't be a weirdo about it. And then, so we went on this, so we just went to this bar and I didn't have ID. And the guy, like, I was IDing everyone and I did her. She walked in and he looked at me and he got, I went, mate, I don't have ID. And he was went, are you with her?
Really?
And went, yeah. And he went, go on, bruv. Just let me in. And I was just there like, oh my man, God. I can't believe I just used a date as ID. As,
like, he just looked, fist bumped you on the way in. Good job, bro.
He just looked at me. And he, you know, like when you get the approval, he was like a proper like dormant. He was like, yeah, he was just like perplexed. But
I've once been on a date. I think I tend to date people around the same level of as me, or lower in terms of looks, but I did once go on a date with a guy who was like really, really hot. And I was like, you are way out of my league. And I felt very uncomfortable.
Oh, it's quite, I found it quite liberating because I was like, I felt like a League Two player playing at Wembley.
Right. Maybe it's different for women because we hold more things about our looks. Maybe it's like, and if you're feeling like your man's hotter than you, maybe it's like.
Yeah, like I'm not hotter than my girlfriend.
Right.
Which like is like, my girlfriend is like, she'll do the thing where she's like, no, you're better. But I'm like, no, right. But you are. Like, you turn up to places and all my mates are like, fucking hell. Like, if I turn up and meet your friends who are like all lawyers and stuff, they're not going to look at me. They're going to go, what the fuck is going are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, I turn up all disheveled and like in Stone Island because I think that's because I appropriate working class culture.
Although recently, I have seen some more hot guys with mid-looking girlfriends and I'm like, yes, feminism.
Yeah, I think that's quite sad when I see that. I always, whenever I see like a hot guy with a mid-girl, I'm like, oh, brother, what happened in your childhood? Come on, man, you can do so much better than this. But there's a difference when, there is a difference where like if like a really hot woman dates a mid-guy, it's like, one, might have big dick. Two, he's probably funny, charming, and he might have money. He might have, but as a guy, and I was chatting to a comic friend of mine the other night, and she was like talking about like, the only guys who DM her after shows are like weirdos, and they're never normal. And I'm like, yeah, because for a man to like to admit from the off that the woman you're seeing is funnier than you, it's like dating a girl who could bench press more than me. There's something emasculating about it.
Yeah.
And we can all sit around and be as feminist and as like want to be.
Yeah.
But that's how we feel. And that's always my thing with like feminism is it's like, I agree with most of it. And then it's like as a guy when I go, well, here's how I feel about a subject. It's like, well, you're fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
most female comics don't sleep with fans. They just sleep with other male comics.
Yeah, that happens a lot. There's a lot. But it's like any office job. People start fucking.
Yeah.
And it gets... In comedy, it gets messy because then people do shows about it.
Yes.
Same with like doctors and medical people. They only date other doctors or nurses because they have mad schedules.
Yeah.
But if you, just on the subject of, you know, a really hot guy with like a mid girl or whatever, sometimes I think maybe that guy has a very specific fetish and out of all the women in the world, she's the only one that's fulfilling that fetish.
That's a great point. Yeah. Mm. It's like, have you ever seen like when someone dates like a disabled person, but they're like not disabled and you go, all right, like, dude, like what? I'm not going to ask, but I'm so curious. Like, I know I can't ask what I want to ask, but like,
because you see,
was it going wrong in your own realm?
Because you do see women, because when I see a woman with a male disabled partner, you don't really think much of it.
Oh, I do.
I don't know because women, we,
I'm like, did he must have got a lot of money from the accident.
No, if a man is nice to us, we'll be like, yeah, that's.
But women love to say shit like that.
No, it's true. It's true.
You don't behave like that at all.
If a man is consistent and nice, we'll be like,
after you've been with like five guys who've treated you like shit who you really like.
Okay, this is post like the age of 33. Yeah. And you will take anyone.
So how old are you?
I'm 30.
Oh, right. I assumed you were like my age, like, which is like 28. I thought you were like in the 20s.
Right, no. Yeah, everyone thinks I'm 15, but no. I am 30. That's where my follower base comes from.
Really?
No.
Would you ever like brand a little bit of that as like?
Well, I've got like loads of tattoos, so it's like people are like,
you fucked it.
Yeah.
But you could be like a 15-year-old who's like a bit of a handful, being a bit of a nightmare at home. She's gone out, got tattoos.
Yeah, but I mean, I would rather not make my money solely from paedophiles, but.
That's, you know, you don't want it enough.
I mean, that is weird though. There is definitely probably a few paedophiles who follow me, like.
Well, it's called age play, isn't it? Which is like, yeah, they've called it. It's, you can't rebrand what it is when they're like, it's age play. Like, I always find that weird. I don't really watch porn. I stopped watching porn. Dabble every now and then. Take a bit of coke, jump back in. But then I always used to find it very alarming how it was like 18-year-old and 19. And
it's all on the homepage as well. Like, they don't, like, the homepage is, well, I looking at them know they're like 26, but they're like meant to be like 18 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, we've all got a stage age. And
there's definitely porn stars who are 18 for like 6 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew comedians who were like 25 for like 8 years. Like, it's an old showbiz trick. Like, it's not.
So you Zoomer? You are, aren't you?
No, I'm a millennial just by 4 months. If I was
really?
Yeah, so if I was born, in 97.
And what do you think of Skibbity Toilet?
I don't get it. And I don't know what the younger generation are up to. And it scares me. But they don't want me to get it, and that's fine. That's what getting older is. You just
Do you feel in your bones you're a Zoomer or a Millennial? Like, do you think you relate more to Millennials or Zoomers?
I relate more to Zoomers because I still live with a parent. Right. So I'm. But I want to be a Zoomer just out of like being a loser. Yeah. I'm more of a loser as a Millennial than a Zoomer.
Right. But, and why do you live with your parent? Why?
Well, look, rent's expensive, and comedy's only started going well in the last like year and a half.
Right. You start spreading that bussy on OnlyFans.
I don't think I wouldn't have it in me to do OnlyFans or anything like that.
I can't imagine you doing it.
Like, no, but even if I was a woman, like I would have like a little bit of dignity and self-respect, I think.
Yeah, and that's, fair. I lost that.
I just think God's given you something, and you should respect it for the, you know, leave it to the man who you love.
Yeah, and after marriage as well.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'd have hoarded it up if I was a woman. Yeah. I hoarded it up as a man, but like, I don't. Again, like, my thing is like, and people conflate this. Like, I think not caring about something is supporting it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not standing in the way of it.
Yeah.
So like, I do not care that people are making their money.
For me, I just want people to. I don't want people to think of it as empowering or disempowering. I just want them to think nothing about it.
Yeah, that's what
you just want it to be like. I don't care.
I would, yeah, but like the idea that it is this empowering thing is like, I'm like, yeah, it might be in your early 20s, but like,
yeah, it's not empowering. It's all just a job. Like, it's just a like.
It's people
you're
wanking,
selling something.
It's people
wanking
over you.
Yeah,
it's not. You've not. You know. Cured cancer.
Well, I don't know.
Guys,
I have
having a wank
harnessed the sperm of all my supporters to cure AIDS. So,
your fans don't get laid enough to have AIDS. they don't get laid. I think it's also quite like. I think in my generation, I don't know, in like the age I am, like, I knew a few younger dudes who signed up to Women's Only Fans, and I know like it's a bit older. I think if you're like my age, we like missed the boat where like we had such accessibility to porn that porn being exciting still has lost its touch. And also like this new version of porn where like I can have an interaction with the porn star. So that's exciting because you get messages a lot. Like, do people pay to message you?
Well, so paying for the subscription, they get to message me.
But did you, like, ever get off on a chat? Like, do you actually, like, is there some of them you chat to
in very desperate times sometimes?
Really? Yeah. Do you ever, like, is it ever, like, actually real and they'll never know it's real?
It's, everything I do is real.
Okay, so I'm fucking with your business model right now.
Everything I do is for the pure joy of helping a man get off. And there is nothing else exists in my brain except sheer desire to make a man come.
Do you see how your eyes glazed over when you had like just do the disassociation? I did that on stage sometimes though. Like, I was doing,
where are you from?
No, I was in Edinburgh this year, and like a big bit of it was about my dad having cancer, and I would literally like get near the end and be like. Yeah, and then he had fucking cancer, and just being in my head like, man, I don't want to do this like shut, like I've said these words so many times, it's just becoming boring. Like and I think that's what's amazing about the human condition is no matter what your job is, sometimes you just want to clock the fuck off.
Yes.
Like, regardless of what
having
it
said
is.
That, do you do crowd work?
Yeah, I do it sometimes. But you want
can
me
you do
to
it
do
now?
Yeah, go on.
To me.
What do you do?
I'm working in pharmacy.
What kind of pharmacy? What do you do?
Boots pharmacy.
Oh, right. And like, so what's your, and I'd go like, I'll do the old hack trick of going like, what's your favourite kind of paracetamol?
Boots own brand.
Oh yeah, that's a good brand, isn't it? Yeah. And like, it's like when you're, what's like the worst ailment someone's ever had when they come in?
Oh, probably itchy penis.
Oh, okay. And what do you have to give them some cream for that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, you've been a great crowd. Thank you so much for. I'm so bad at crowd.
I do a version of it now where she says her real job.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you do?
I do OnlyFans.
Whore? No. You got a whore in the room.
Everyone goes,
whoa. Yeah. Oh God, no. But if you said I do OnlyFans, I wouldn't believe you.
Right.
Like I would think it's a made up job. I would think, because sometimes with crowd work, what happens? People try to be funny. I also
couldn't believe people would pay to see me naked.
No, I've met people. I've met people. I'm always surprised at what people watch animals fuck.
Yeah.
Like there's no like whatever you think, people will jerk off to it.
Yeah.
There is something incredible about that in there.
True, true.
Sorry that I just compared you to animals fucking.
There are some really desperate people out there. Someone will watch you. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but like everyone, you know, everyone's got their thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to know like, I've done sex work once.
Oh yeah.
I saw some guy asked for pictures of my feet and he sent me trainers.
No way. What trainers?
I got like a 300 quid pair of trainers out of him. And then like I was starting to get like, he was sending me like PlayStations and like Burberry and stuff, and I felt bad.
Oh my
God. I actually felt like I was exploiting the guy.
Oh my God.
Because when he sent me money, his actual name was on the thing, so I looked him up and he was just some like dude, and I was like, mate, you haven't got the fucking finances to...
And what is his... That is... The ones who send you the most stuff are often the most broke.
Yeah, it's an addiction thing. I knew a girl who had a few pay pigs. I believe they're called. And I went to her one time. I was like, do you not have some moral duty? Because there was some guy who was getting himself into credit card debt. And he would like message her like... next time I send you, you can't let me send you money.
Also, do you know there was a guy, because I was a webcam girl as well before, and there was there's this case, this guy, I think it was in like Canada or something, and there was like this guy who got addicted to webcam girls and murdered his family to send money to his webcam girls.
Yeah, I don't think you can hold the webcam girls accountable for that.
That's only a him problem.
That's a him issue. He was going to do that for whatever.
If anyone wants to murder their family for me, fine.
Oh yeah,
I will accept.
Oh yeah.
Said, you know, but money that comes my way.
But do you not think you would have like a moral duty?
So
at
I have
point?
Some guys who will send me a message being like, "Oh, I'm going to send you this at the end of the week after I get paid," and I'm like, and I always say, "Only send if you can afford it." Like I just say that. Like,
yeah, that's fair. Mm.
We've had a mixed bag. We've had a couple of fin doms on this podcast, and I feel like people, you know, dominatrix, but fin dom, financial dom.
Okay.
So as part of their domination thing, they'll do and get people pay pigs or whatever. Mm. But I swear, I won't name which is which. But I swear one of them, if I'm not mistaken, was very like, "Oh, if I see that a guy can't afford it, then I won't push." And then another one was just like, "I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Yeah,
you just
can't
pay me." And so, but there is a moral code attached to that the findom should have a responsibility that she's not putting someone out that much. Because it is an addiction.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like a gambling company or like a, you know, it's... Because I've always like seen sex work, like the original sex work, and all this fake stuff. No. All this getting your back
out. Good old fashioned get lying on your back, getting ploughed by a man who's just done a shift at a factory.
Yeah.
The good old fashioned day.
Doesn't want to fuck his wife.
Yeah.
But it's a woman who's only slightly better looking in his price bracket.
Yeah.
That's proper sex work. Yeah.
Nice so, bit of syphilis.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. Just some Lithuanian girls taking one for the team. Yeah. And I've like sort of, you know, what was my point? But like chatting to the, and like, I've always seen it as like a female version of drug dealing.
Yeah.
Like it's the same, like I don't have issues with drug dealers because it's like I can totally understand how you end up with
them. I need them.
Yeah, and yeah. I've used drug dealers yeah. before, and you know, so I look at it like, well, you know, I've got my visas right. And the same with like sex work, I'm like, this is not me on a soapbox. I'm not going to join the march about it. But it's like I think this would just be better if it was all legitimately done. And you know, I know like. It's if women like have a place that they do it together, then they get done for pimping rather than soliciting sex. That's illegal, isn't it? But not illegal to sell sex.
Yes, yeah.
And then, but if you have two women who work together because it's safer, they're then officially one of them's like pimping, by the law.
Yeah, it's like a brothel law or something,
which is, you know, unsafe for them, and it's just silly. But the like way I've always, yeah, like I said, it's like, you know, that's what women are gonna do. If you know, if you need to make money, like there is a thing, like if you're a woman and you're ever broke, you can do it.
Yeah,
like as a guy it's like, all right, well, maybe go sell some drugs. Like where it pushes you if you're broke, you know. Yeah.
Or steal or something.
Steal, yeah, or rob. There's a lot of things you can do if you haven't got money.
Yes,
I'm not saying you should do them.
Yeah, if you have thought about stealing stuff, it is in your name. That's comedy.
I used to steal a lot as a kid.
I had a shoplifting phase as
like,
well.
Real bad shoplift, and I got good at it. Really, I got really good at it. I used to steal and then steal stuff at school, just like sweets and stuff from Iceland. Ooh. And
you're a bad boy.
But then one of the kids beat me up and took all my stuff, and I just never did it again. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, I used to steal makeup and vegan cheese because it was expensive.
Such a middle class shopping. But it's the middle classes who do it a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I like a bit of shoplifting here and there because I think, one, it makes me feel alive, and two, I have a thing like,
I'm too nervous to do it nowadays, actually.
Oh, well, I think if you're going to make me do self-service,
you know, the other day, the other fucking day, there was a banana. I was so stressed. I was in a hurry and these bananas weren't scanning. And I was like, for fuck's sake. And I put it in my bag and the shop woman came and she went, get those bananas out.
Did she?
And she like put them through. And I was like, oh.
I've always thought though, if you work in like a shop, like who gives a fuck? Like that's always.
Stupid bitch. Hope she dies.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe wishing death on her for being in the right.
So recently I was in Tesco and I was doing a shop with like a proper trolley, and I grabbed one of the cold coffees, you know, just like a Starbucks coffee, and it was in there and I was looking at it and I was like, I'm just going to start drinking it now. I drank it as I was doing my shopping, and then I put the cup down.
It's a little treat, isn't it?
I felt guilty, but also it's, you know, it's the man. Tesco is the big company. They're not. It's not like you're stealing from the local corner shop.
No, and they account for it as well. Yeah, like, exactly. They'll have worked out like with self-checkout, like the amount we lose on theft, like is we still employ less staff, so it's actually
my producer is having to shoplift food and beverages because that's how well our podcast is doing.
I need a pay rise.
Should we do some fan problems? So I have a fan base who are horny and autistic.
Okay.
And I have a lot of problems.
That's a very similar fan base to mine. Yeah. Mine are all on ketamine.
Right, yes. Oh, I mean, I used to live in Bristol, so I'm well aware of ketamine.
Oh yeah, my fan base
And so they've sent in some problems. Should we go for them?
Yeah, let's do it. So we have one that might sound like a bit of a callback to what we were talking about earlier on. My boss told me that another colleague's 15-year-old daughter is fit, and this guy is 65. So this guy said to his colleague at work, your daughter is fit, she's 15. That's a bit dark. Any thoughts on that?
Okay, but like, is she fit? that's my take on it. Is she fit? Let's see, if I see her and I go, she's fit, but like, don't, you can't say it, but like, yeah.
Like, but I guess when you're saying is a 15-year-old fit, you're saying you need to say when you say what a 15-year-old's fit, you're saying she's gonna be fit when she's older, or is he saying she's fuckable now as a 15-year-old? That's the key difference.
Well, it's like, it's this moral quandary that you
have.
Because
one is noncy, the other one is just, you can tell when someone's probably going to be good looking when they're older.
Oh yeah, but like, yeah, but like, if he saw her in an environment, like say, like let's create the scenario, he went around today, he's having a barbecue, whatever, she came down, and like, she looks older. And one, he's also 65, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is, who gives a fuck what they think? Like, when you're that age as a guy.
If my dad is 65, if I caught my dad saying a 15-year-old is fit, I would probably
shoot him in the head.
Is it worse if the guy's 65? What if like a 30-year-old man said it? Because that feels like the 30-year-old man would make the move. The 65-year-old wouldn't make the move.
The 65-year-old, I feel like you've got to give them, like, they're married, they have kids. That 15-year-old, him seeing a hot 15-year-old is the only thing keeping him going. Like, you do have to bear that in mind as well. Also, it's like, what, you know, there is a thing of like, I had friends who, when we were 15, like, I had a mate who could go out when we were 15 because he looked older.
Yeah.
Like, he looks older. There is a thing where people look older. So it could be a thing where it's like, this person
they
looks
do,
older.
But you can always tell by their energy.
Yes, that's true. But if you're 65, like, I had that for the first time. I went out in Hoxton.
But he knows she's 15.
Yeah. I mean, it's not great. I don't know why I'm defending him.
This man needs to be able to call 15-year-olds fit.
I don't know. It is wrong.
He said it to her dad.
Well, I think it's like another colleague's daughter.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
But like, what if it is a fit 15-year-old?
It's still illegal.
It's still. I'm not saying lower that age so this guy can bang this guy's kid. I'm saying it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, 100% what he's done. Like, keep it to yourself.
Yes.
If he found a 15-year-old hot, he should go,
the only way to get out of it is to be like, oh, she's going to be very attractive when she's older. If you don't say
even that, like, don't comment on that.
No, you shouldn't. It's a bit much.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
When you're a guy, you can't say things like that.
Yeah.
It's like when I was in Edinburgh the day where, like, they have, like, people brought their kids in. The women were like, oh, she's going to be stunning when she's older. I'm like, I can't go, hey mate, your kid's going to be so fit when they're older. Like, that's like a
fucking...
Can't
wait to fuck your kid when they're older.
I'm putting in early work now so they always remember me as cool. So when they're 20. Oh,
like, there's a word for that, guys. It's called grooming. That's the definition of grooming. Like,
grooming's thrown around too lightly nowadays. Though,
it's like gaslighting. Know? Everyone says gaslighting. Now.
But I do see, I've seen sometimes women who are like 20 or like they're in their mid-20s and they met a guy when they're 20 and the guy was like in his late 20s. They were like, he groomed me. And it's like, I think you have to be underage. Like, that's definition.
Yeah. And also, like, that's your fault for being a bit thick.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There are some women... Sometimes when they complain about how they, it's often women of legal age who complain about a guy who has some kind of clout, and they say, "Oh, he manipulated me into doing stuff," and then you kind of hear what happened, and it's like, at a certain point, you're like,
"Yeah, so
do you take some response."
Okay, so I can't comment on this as a guy.
Right, yeah.
Because then you seem like you like go like, you take like a very specific case and go like, hey, but maybe that wasn't like, maybe that wasn't someone like abusing someone. Maybe that was a bad relationship. And they go like, oh, so you think rape's fine? And you go, no.
My God, it's so funny. There was a, back when I lived in Bristol, because I moved here earlier this year, but in Bristol there's this big, I wonder if anyone watching this might know who it's about. Probably not. It's a bit niche. But there was like this DJ duo and they were quite successful in Bristol, like
Brad Myers. Is this a drum and bass guy?
No, it's techno, I would say. Oh, okay, right. But like, they disbanded because one of them's ex came out and said that he cheated on her a bunch. And like, while she had cancer, which granted makes him a massive cunt.
Yeah, it was.
But they were like, she was like, which is abuse, and they had to disband because of his ex-girlfriend. And I was like, that is the most ridiculous. If every musician had to disband for everyone they cheated on, Also, there would be no musicians.
Also, like Dave Grohl just came out. People were like, because he got caught. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm so disappointed in him. And you're like, the fact that he only fucked one other woman.
Yes.
Like, give him a Victoria Cross.
The fact that he got only one woman pregnant.
I find that though, like, there's like a thing that happens. I could get in a lot of trouble talking about this, but fuck it. So when like Me Too stuff happens in comedy, like the first week of it is like so important because it's like out in actual like serial abusers, like
real genuine
assholes who should be dealt with in not just stand up but show business in general.
I don't want a guy wanking at me. When I go for a meeting or whatever.
Exactly. Shit like that. And then like week two is kind of like they get someone else and you're like, oh yeah, that's bad. And then week three is like, this guy messaged me at 1 a.m. and I want to go like, did you not block him? Like, did you not? And like, why are we? And I want to go like, I can't say this as a man, but I want to go like, hey, do you not feel like as a woman, like when these women are recounting like real horrific things that I would never have the guts to fucking talk about and put in a public space and be ridiculed about? Do you not feel like you're robbing from their actual thing going like, hey, think about me today as well. Someone messaged me at 2 a.m. and I want to go like, that's not the same thing.
The craziest one was like the Aziz Ansari thing.
Well, that sounded like a bad date.
Yeah, he basically like gave her a bad fingering or whatever. And she was like, this man needs to have his career canceled. Which, yeah.
I do feel like...
Although sometimes I do wish men got more repercussions for bad fingering.
Oh, we do. you know when you've been a bad shag. You could tell by like how into you they were beforehand to like, no, I'm actually quite, no, I'm not going to make it tonight. Oh. You go, yeah, that was a bad.
I remember there was some TikTok creator though, who I remember like maybe like last year, he had to release some statement because he'd been Snapchatting nudes to a fan, but he's like in his early 20s and the fan was like 19 or whatever. But I was like, but he had to make a statement about it. But he is someone... He had previously slid into my DMs before and messaged me being like, oh, do you have Snapchat? And of course, as an almost, at the time, almost 30-year-old woman, I was like, no, I don't use fucking Snapchat.
No, I don't use Snapchat.
And also, I know exactly what you want me to do when messaging you on Snapchat. Like, I have, like, there's some smarts you can use and be like, if I go talk to Snapchat on this guy, he's going to send me nudes. Like,
oh, see, I've never understood the sending of the dick pic or as the off. Like, I've always been very, very cautious with... Like, I've got some... I've not got bad DMs that will come out. I've got humiliating DMs that will come out. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, bombing in the DMs, like, kind of things that will come out.
What, like, you just sending really...
Not creepy.
Awkward.
No, yeah, just like, but sometimes my thing.
Be like, ha, ha. I don't know, maybe something like... I'm trying to think what's so... cringy guys say like, haha, to be fair, I do that. I have sent terrible flirty messages to people and they're so cringy. And you know, you like try and be funny.
Oh God.
And then you send it and you're like, and you read them back and you're like, hey, I don't know. You just sound like an annoying little pixie.
Yeah. But you've known me for what, like 40 minutes now. Right. And you've like seen my vibe. I'm never not like this, right, which for some women is such an immediate turn off. Epic proportion of like, what the fuck is this rat faced mullet having nepo baby doing, and why does he speak so brashly? That to some women is disgusting. And I've been in DMs and literally had women like, are you all right? Like, not like because I'm saying anything bad, but I'm just like trying to be funny and they don't get my sense of humor.
Yeah.
And like, I know that one day there could be like a load of screenshots of like, he once DM'd me, and I'll just have to be like, my defense would be, yeah, sorry, I was trying to get my dick wet.
Yeah.
I was trying to get laid.
I think if more men, if they had stuff come out, but if they just accepted, it's like, yeah, I was horny, I was trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Like, they would actually be fine.
Yeah.
When they're like, I'm so sorry, I abuse my power or something. Unless you actually abuse someone, like, it's fine. It's fine to be horny and miss. Like,
I abuse my power of blowing up on Instagram and getting a blue tick.
I would love to abuse my power more.
Do you not DM slide then a lot?
not really. Well, I think the kind of people I fancy don't want to be seen following me back.
Oh, do they, so do they? So do they have? Oh, I guess maybe, yeah, like,
or something. But there'll be people. There'll be. Oh, but I guess if I
was too shameless with that, actually. I used to have a comic who used to be like, there'd be like girls who'd follow from shows of a comedy club we'd play, and he'd be like, bruv, you're too quick. He'd be like, she's followed all of us. I just have a look on a profile out of curiosity, and I see you followed him.
Yeah,
like, can you just...
yeah.
I feel like we're comedians, though. I feel like some comedians will talk about the fact that they can pull at a show because they're up on stage and somebody will like them. There's relationships are formed with it, apparently.
Yeah, I had a bit in my show about, like, so. Look, I'm a very awkward. I'm not like I am on stage, off stage, unless it's with a very select few people. I'm actually very shy when chatting to the crowd after shows. I'm quite a socially awkward person. But I'm 6 foot one. I stay in reasonable shape. I train MMA and I go on stage and go, like, sometimes I feel sad. And then, yeah, like, women, and then there'll be a,
their knickers.
And then a woman will go, I can fix him. And they can't. But. There will be women who will come up to you because of that, but I'm like an arsehole on stage, and I genuinely believe this, and I'm very, like, I did a lot of dark jokes. I find the more sort of, like, open about them being an arsehole a comedian is actually genuinely the sounder they are. You know, they're actually cool people, you know, they're actually sound people. I'm very, anyone who knows me, I'm actually very soft, very sensitive, like, quite a, you know, it always takes a lot of comics by surprise about how sensitive I am. And then you'll see a lot of comedians who go on stage who are like, I don't even know how to chat to a woman. And then you find out they're not allowed to be left alone with the bar staff.
Yeah. And it's like... So my mate just told me about some comedian...
we bleep the name?
I don't know his name, actually. But he's from New Zealand. And apparently a friend went on a date with him or something.
Is he quite well known from New Zealand?
Yeah, and woke up to him wanking over her face or something.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. And he's like very... plays the very nerdy.
I think I know who you're on about.
Talking about famous comedians who are wrong-uns, the famous documentary that came out last year, the Channel 4 that we all know about, apparently the whole comedy scene... new before it came out. Is that true?
My cousin.
If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to.
I can talk about this in depth. So I've met him twice. I have, let me just say this. I've only ever met someone with that much star power once, and it was him. Like, walks into a room.
Well, I mean, you did meet me, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, and again, underwhelming. And then I remember, like, I did a show with them, a TV thing, and I was out having a cigarette afterwards. And funnily enough, the show was called Roast Battles. We could say it's Russell Brand, right? Like, if the thing's out, like,
I think,
like,
wait, what?
It'd be funny if I just made up, like, a comedian, just threw someone under the bus. Like,
we all know it's Jimmy Carr. Yeah.
By the way, everyone Jimmy Carr is the soundest fucking...
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
He's like just soundest person, one of the soundest people I've met in stand-up. But, like... Yeah. So we were doing roast battles. We weren't allowed to say anything about Russell Brand. Now, the reason let me explain the story as far as if you don't mind me chatting for a little bit.
No, go for it.
So I was outside having a smoke after roast battle, and he walked by, and I went, hey, mate, really nice to meet you. I've grown up watching you. Lovely to meet you. And I went, it's not going to come as a surprise that the guy who does jiu-jitsu listens to Joe Rogan. I really enjoyed his Joe Rogan podcast. So he's like, I really enjoyed you on Rogan. And he went, Elliot, mate, what is fascinating is I have this career that has expanded over so many things within life. And the thing that young men like yourself most come up to me about is Joe Rogan. And he's really tapped into a bit and spoke at me like that for 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
Just used to be good. But talked about me and what I was saying. And I was just stood there like... Caps just thrilled by it.
So he nearly got you.
Dude. Yeah.
He's got the riz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I understand how this guy fucks everything.
Yeah.
Because you
you were about to bend over for him.
It was just someone famous, like really famous, chatting at you like that. and remembering your name, and it makes you feel special. Then when the show went out, right, so the way like a TV series usually goes out, now I'm not alluding to anything here, just for the sake of something that I'm about to record next week. I'm not saying that this has anything to do with anything. People can make their own mind up. The way a series goes out is it goes one episode per week. With Roast Battle, there were some rumours, so all the episodes went out in 1 week.
Was it close to the Dispatches documentary when it aired?
So what I heard was a load of stuff was about to come out. What happened was they kind of got wind of it and put the entire show out. The show was a huge success. He wasn't back next season. The other thing was, what I heard at the time is that it was a different article to be with, and I'm not going to say any companies in that just because I don't know how liable that makes me. There was an article that was about to come out by somewhere else that then got dealt with like super injunctions and stuff. The people who wrote that arc, so then what I heard was Dispatches and Times that were working on things separately then collaborated and had enough evidence that if there was to be a legal case, they'd have been absolutely fine. They had like the evidence. But yeah, what happened was everyone in comedy had heard things and knew about stuff to the extent of which people knew different things. But I remember bringing him up to a comic one time who I really like and really respect, and he went, "That man should be in jail." Like, he said that, he was like, "That guy should be in fucking jail." The other thing that happened with that Dispatches documentary that I think is interesting is only one comedian had the balls to kind of come forward and put his name on it.
Yeah.
So every other comedian, by the way, and this isn't a shout at him, I think like for all these people who didn't want to jeopardize their career, who put themselves as the feminists and the like the standing up for women's rights and that, to not come out and say anything is a little bit like, I wouldn't say cowardly, because it is very tough. Like when people, I don't think people understand in show business, like how you hear a rumor. This isn't like, it's not like, you know, when people talk about like Jimmy Savile or something like that. Yeah. It's like you hear something about someone being creepy and then you meet them and they're cool. And you're like, all right, well, I don't know like kind of what happened. And like, you can't go to anyone, you can't go to the police on the fact of hearsay.
So it's
this really weird thing where everyone thinks everyone knows everything and it comes this very convoluted. But with him, like, everyone
you hear rumors, but there's actually nothing you can really say about rumors, like,
and like I think in like most cases I believe the women, like, in like,
oh yeah, no, I mean, even if the rumors, no, but even if the rumors are true, you can't can't go out in public and say, oh, I've heard this, because you could get sued or something.
Well, like, yeah, and also, like, also, yeah, like, but like, I've also seen in this job it happen the other way of like, not nothing to do with sex or anything like that. Like, something's happened, you hear about it, and then literally have seen like footage of what the person has claimed has happened to be disproved was true. And you then go like, it's a really odd situation when you're there and with something like that, where you go like, ooh, stay away from her. You know, look, this is a job that invites a lot of people with a lot of mental health issues in, and not everyone behaves fucking accordingly.
Like, oh my God, the OnlyFans industry, so much drama between like porn performers. Every other week, there's something where people get like, something blows up on Twitter and be like, never work with this person because X, Y, Z. Or sometimes it's false, sometimes it's true. And yeah.
Don't you just think, like, what a tiring way to live your life?
Yeah.
Like, to be like,
I'm just like, if I came into contact with a man and he did something, if I thought he was a genuine danger to women, that's the only time I would feel like, I'd be like, I need to say something.
Yeah.
But even then, I would just only say it to the relevant people. Like, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Like, why? I don't know.
But it's like that. It's like that story you told about your friend who went on a date with someone and ended up wanking on their face, right? And woke up to that, which is letter of the law, sexual assault. Like, you can't do that. That's like that's what's more common in stand-up is like you hear something about someone like that and you go like, ah, you want to go like, all right, dude, I don't think someone who does that should have their entire career taken away from prison. Yeah, yeah. But they need to be sat down like, mate, like what the fuck are you doing? Like you can't wank on people's faces when they sleep.
I would like to have some rumor about me out there.
Oh, we can start one.
Yeah. I like to be there. Someone might say something, you know, Kat Baker, she did this thing once. It made me a bit uncomfortable. And I think it'd give me a bit of edge.
Oh, I had someone start a rumor about me that I slept with a certain comedian that I'd never slept with.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, she'd be more embarrassed than me.
Right.
We're very different brands. Yeah. And she, I've had people go like, hey man, like, I've just got to ask. I'll be like, no. I'd like, before you ask it, it's not true. And I go, yeah, I thought so.
Well, so after today, I want you to go around and be like, Kat Baker, yeah, she
made me uncomfortable.
She touched me on the ass, like, as I was leaving and lifted me up and tried to wrestle me to the ground. And I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go around telling people that.
She drugs me.
Okay, so moving on, we've got one more fan problem and then we wrap it up, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you might have experience with this or not, you can let us know. So someone said, I'm so deep in the friend zone with this girl that I genuinely don't know how to get out.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
Kill yourself.
I would say
because the friend zone isn't real.
It's yeah. Not real. If women put you in a friend zone, you're never getting out of it. See? Like we
it's fine to have a friend. Have a friend.
Don't She's not your friend, bro.
Not exactly.
She knows what
I will say. I don't become good friends with men I want to fuck.
Yeah, so I have this.
My best friends that are men, I would never, ever. But men only make friends with women they're attracted to on some level, I feel like. Is that true?
How Andrew Tate am I going to go with? I don't. I have this thing with women who like have guy friends, which happened with my ex, happened with two of my exes, and I have with my current girlfriend, where like she'll tell me a story and I'm like, yeah, because that guy wants to fuck you, and I have to spend 15 minutes trying to explain, yeah, because he wants to fuck you, and she's like, no, and I'm like, all right, how can every man on the tube make you uncomfortable, and then this guy who clearly wants to fuck you you can't see wants to fuck you, like, and I go, I still don't know if it's because she's being deceptive or she's being obtuse.
Right.
And obtuse is fine. That's absolutely
fine. I think it's obtuse. Like, she genuinely has no idea.
I've had it enough with women. Yeah. I'm like, this has to be. No. Women are just so nice.
I think, I like, with my male, well, most of my male friends are in, like, long-term relationships, and I'm friends with their girlfriends as well. So that kind of makes it less. But I know men, men don't make friends with women that are significantly less attractive than them. I've noticed that.
Oh, I have a lot of I have like female comedian friends of mine who are friends of mine, but like I don't ring them and chat to them. Like I don't. There's no girls I ring and have a chat with about that. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not.
I have male friends and we message each other about like stuff.
Messaging is one thing, but like I don't FaceTime.
Might voice note them.
Voice note, yeah, maybe, but even that, like.
But even then, it's more where we're gossiping about other people that we know. I'm like, oh my God, did you hear this?
If you're in the friend zone, what you need to do is here's what sucks about the friend zone, bro. And like, I was only joking when I said kill yourself. And this is going to suck. You've got to go through a breakup with someone you weren't going out with. And you have to go through the pain of a breakup of someone you weren't with, which is humiliating on a certain level, but every guy's had to do it at some point. And it's going to suck, but one of two things happens. You get over her and you move on, or she's going to be like, how comes we don't hang out anymore? And you have to be really honest and go, listen, I stuck around with you for a while. I listened to your problems. I paid for the fucking concert tickets. I wanted to go out with you. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting that vibe from you. So for my own peace, I have to move on. And you put it diplomatically like that, and you use words like peace because women love that shit. And then you say something like that, and then she'll either be like, oh, I'm really sorry. That's it, which is going to confirm she was never really your friend. Secondly, she's going to be like, oh, well, that's a shame. I would not give yourself any of the hope she's going to be like, well, let's get together. That very rarely happens. You might be the exception to the case, but I would just go through the breakup, bro. It sucks. I've had to do it.
Yeah.
I've had to do it.
If they've put you in a friend zone, you're never getting out of that. I've probably been into a friend once, like a male friend, but it was like, he wasn't someone I'd known like a long time. He was like someone I became friends with, and then I like had a crush on him. And it was a bit like, and I never did anything about it. And then he'd get into relationships, and I was like, it's fucking painful.
Well, it doesn't exist with guys, because we'll fuck the girl. What would you mean? I can't believe you thought there was something in that.
Do you think a guy and a girl can fuck and genuinely be mates?
Yeah, so I'm in an argument about this at the minute. She's not going to enjoy me bringing this up. I have this argument where my girlfriend is like friends with someone she like went out with. And like, I'm like, and she got annoyed because I was like, I sometimes message me and my ex. Like, we're not, we just sometimes message. Which I can completely get she's not going to be cool with. And I'm going to stop that on like a level of like, I'm like, to respect her. That's totally fair. Like, that's just like, I've got to respect her with it. But women do this thing. I don't know if you'd agree with me on this. Women do this thing where like, if as a guy, if you do something that upsets them, it's like, well, we have to listen to why you're upset and the emotions. But then when women do something that upsets men and we go, here's how this is making me feel, we've got to listen to why we're wrong to feel that. Because women are better at emotional manipulation than men are on a whole. Because women have to control men, because our thing is physical prowess.
Yeah.
My thing is I can bench press you, so you don't like... I'm dumb.
I'm actually very hench though, by the way. Just so
Not you, but like... like some little like a couple like 8 year olds and well, I come on this podcast and be incredibly misogynist, but...
Well, I would say I don't do any of that. I bend over, shut up and make sandwiches. That's all I do. I'm the perfect companion.
You see, and if you fell for that as a guy, you're exactly why we don't have as much as we could.
Yeah, I think with the mess, I think being friends with an ex, I think it depends what if it was a, because there's some guys who I've maybe slept with a couple times and I was never really into them ever, and those are the kind of guys I can then be good mates with afterwards and it's fine.
Yeah, but there's a difference when you sleep with someone. If you sleep with someone and find out you're not sexually compatible, that can work for friendship because the curiosity's gone.
Yeah.
So
it was like that situation. Like, and I was like, I don't really fancy him that much. Yeah. Like I'm not that sexually attracted. We just slept together because we were a bit drunk and a bit like, bleh. And then those are the kind of guys where it's like, you could be mates with them, it means absolutely nothing. If it was someone that they were into at some point, then it's a bit more.
Yeah, I was a bit like.
Because you can sleep with people and not be into them at all.
No, for sure. But I was a bit like, she was like, oh, but it's all fine now. And I was like, I trust you, but it's just, it's like, I'm not going to have, do you know what it is? It's a classic, like, you can't get annoyed about this if you're going to do this. I don't mind, like, I trust you, but like, you're then not allowed to be annoyed about the thing that.
But it also
depends
how long ago was it and how long.
Theirs was years ago. Mine was like, I went for a breakup like 2 years ago or like 18 months ago. But like, it's just still like, with my ex girlfriend, I'm like, I wish her nothing. But like, if she started going out with someone else, I would be happy for her.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be like, what the fuck? I'd be like, no, I really hope she finds happiness. That's how you're over an ex, is like, you wish them nothing but the best.
And that's healthy. it's one of the healthiest things in relationships, yeah, close relationships.
But whereas, like, if I broke up with my current girlfriend and then she started seeing someone, I'd want them to both die. Like, that's, do you know what I mean? Like, that's your, that would be, sorry, I'm speaking a bit here.
But. My exes cannot talk, for they are all at the bottom of the River Thames. The joke was suicide. I was going for killed, but actually that's better, yeah. Elliot, have you got any messages to say to the world, particularly to my horny autistic audience?
Oh, well, if you like my stuff, follow me on Instagram for separate reasons.
For a wank and a tism talk.
Don't tism talk me. But no, this has been a lot of fun. I deeply misogynistic through all of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah,
you gave some of the best advice we've ever gotten on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, genuine advice. Yeah.
What, when I said kill yourself?
It was everything after that, but then you said, I was joking though, saying kill yourself. So you made it okay.
Just can I say to that guy as well, I'm going to assume it's a guy, all the time you'd have spent with her, sign up to a boxing gym. Become a fucking weapon.
Yeah.
Go become a fucking weapon and then start dating a girl who's dating you because you can fucking fight. That'd be so cool. Dude, imagine that. It'll take 4 months. 4 months.
Yes.
That's my advice. I hope I'm rooting for that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, don't go do boxing and then take it out on women. Jesus Christ. Yeah. But, like,
And also start a webcam business, ship girls over from Romania and tie them up and make them perform.
There's money to be made, bro.
I've done it already been done recently.
No, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I have the number one funnest podcast in the world. I hope I didn't make you too uncomfortable with that wrestling thing I did.
No,
I
don't.
No, you didn't mind sort shit. Of groping and the.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I'm there to be groped. Yeah. I don't know. I'd be groped. I'd, you know what?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'd fucking deal with it. Because I'm a man.
And I'm not gay.
you know when a guy comes out and he's like, and a woman once touched me, and you go like, yeah, bro, shut up.
We're talking about Bundabecki earlier.
Like if a guy came out and was like, a woman once grabbed me, but like, yeah, did you feel uncomfortable? Yeah, but you didn't feel in any threat of immediate violence. Just shut the fuck up, man. It's not the same.
We are pro male sexual assault. Right. Anti-autism pro male sexual assault. That's what we are on this podcast. Also anti-asexuals. We hate the asexuals. But thank you so much for coming on. I'll put your links in the description.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Check them out and all that. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.